about that wonderful trip up to Denver? Because she wants to know about that trip now. All right? All right, everybody, it's good to have you all gathered together this evening and be able to see all of y'all in here and all of you on Facebook family and Sermon Audio friends. Thank you for joining with us as we come together tonight and we do the things that we're doing. We're going to begin to worship and praise God as we come together. The first song is going to be entitled, I Just Came to Praise the Lord. Then we're going to sing, I Just Came to Bless the Lord and I Just Came to Love the Lord. Get ready. Praise, bless, and love. I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise the Lord. I just came to praise His holy name. I came to bless the Lord. I just came to bless you, Lord. I just came to bless you, Lord. I just came to bless your holy name. I just came to bless you, Lord. Came to love you. I just came to love you, Lord. I just came to love you, Lord. I just came to praise your holy name. I just came to praise you, Lord. Praise, bless, and love, Lord. We love you tonight. Everybody stand up. The next song we're going to sing, and then we'll have a prayer after that. There's within my heart a melody Jesus whispers sweet and low. There's within my heart a melody Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. A little bigger. And know of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Make the words a little bit bigger, please, because I can hardly see anything, and I want all of my peoples to be able to see the words real well. Second verse. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with Jesus swept across those broken strings. He stirred the slumbering chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as verse 5. Soon He's coming back. Soon He's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know. My every longing keeps me singing as I go. Come over here, Brother Danny, and take us to the throne of God.
All right. Good evening, everyone. God bless you all. It's good to be able to gather here again in the sight of God and to worship Him. Psalms chapter 33, verses 8 through 12. 33:8-12, it says, let all of the earth fear the Lord. Let all of the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing, and He frustrates the plans of the people.
Bring the counsel of this nation to nothing.
Oh, Lord, yes, and the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. And verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
Amen.
And the people whom He has chosen as His heritage. Father, tonight, once again, we're gathered here in your presence, Father.
Amen, Lord.
We thank you for the opportunity that we have to praise and to worship you, Father God. We are gathered here for encouragement. We're gathered together. We're gathered together in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the word that will be spoken tonight,
please,
Father
God.
God.
Bring your word out. Yes,
bring it out because it is truth and it is true. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and begin to sing more. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'll enter his courts with praise. I think everybody knows this one well enough. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. I will enter your courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter your courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for you have made me glad. You have made me glad. You have made me glad. I will rejoice for you have made me glad. You have made me glad. You have made me glad. I will rejoice for you have made me glad. Page 87, I believe, in that little hymn book, that little blue-black one, because I want to make sure that you're getting all the words in big print up there. And we're going to be able to sing "Joy to the World, the Lord is come." This is not I know y'all sing this at Christmas. This is a song that's going to be sung when Jesus comes back, because the Lord is coming back to rule and reign. And we need to think about that. Look at this. Is it on page 87 in that, or is it page 87 in the gray hymn book? I'm not really sure where I got all that put together. So, yeah, you're going to need to look there to be able to get, because we're going to do all four of the verses and you want to find it. Page 87 in that gray hymn book, is it in there? Perfect. Everybody stand up while we offer this. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let her receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat that sounding joy, repeat that sounding joy. Repeat, repeat that sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. You see, this is talking about the one who's going to come back and make things right. He's coming back, people. This song should be sung all year long. Say, Brother Phil, why don't you do it? I will. Let's sing that last verse now. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Y'all may be seated. The next song, I'm hoping we've got the words to, and if we don't, go ahead and put it up there if we've got it, so that way I'm going to be able to see it. I don't have to tell them whether we've got it or not. Emmanuel. There you go. Praise God. Emmanuel. Your name is called my Emmanuel, my Emmanuel. Your God with us, you're revealed in us. Your name is called Emmanuel. Good worship going on this evening as we're coming to the throne of God. We're going to offer up that song that says, that talks about amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. Amazing grace. Beyond fault, there is therefore now no condemnation until we've decided, I don't want Jesus. Please, Facebook family, please, sermon audio friends, never decide you do not want Jesus. Never make that decision at all. Is there a video that we can watch this evening? Good. Let's watch that video now. Brother Tom, can you turn off all those lights that are back there? Just turn them all off. We'll be able to get that done. And then we'll be able to start that video. You know, I think this is timely to be able to show this evening. So please pay attention if you're able to.
a virgin mother, a baby in a manger, the angels and the shepherds. It's a story heard throughout the world by believers and non-believers alike. Christmas arrives with gifts of hope, love, joy, and peace. At no other season is the world more receptive to the news that God loves the world. But no matter how familiar we are with the Christmas story, sharing our faith can be difficult. In the Bible, the Apostle John gives us a solution. One verse makes it as simple as possible, and it's a Christmas sermon that you can preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Even though these words are familiar, we cannot take them for granted. The reality is that God loves everyone. Jesus was sent to rescue us from our sins. No matter who you are or what you've done, you can experience eternal life by simply believing in Jesus as your Savior. John 3:16 sums up perfectly the good news of Christmas. It's a Christmas sermon that you can preach, and the world is waiting to hear it.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know how many more Christmases we'll have, but we need to be busy sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone. Brother Paul, let's do this song. I apologize for having that break and making you have to get up and get back over there again, but he washed my eyes with tears. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see the broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it all apart and looked inside. He found it full of fear and foolish pride. Away the things that made me blind, and then I saw the clouds were silver blind, and now I understand what's best for me. Eyes with tears that I might see. He washed my eyes with tears that I might see. The glory of himself revealed to me. I did not know that he had wounded hands. I saw his blood he spilled upon the sands. I saw my marks of shame and wept and cried. He was my substitute, for me he died. And now I'm glad he came so tenderly and washed my eyes with tears.
that I might see.
Amen. I love that song. I'm trying to remember Vera's last name because I remember going and visit with her after her husband had passed away in California and being there for his funeral. And she asked me whenever I came out, she said, whenever I was a woman, not a young woman, she said, at one time I became very angry with God. Very angry. And I told him I was never going to serve you again. And see, she said there were some things that happened in my family that broke my heart. And I told him, God, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry I've been angry with you. I'm so sorry that things have worked out the way that they are. And I will honor you. I will be with you. And as she was driving, within the next few days, she heard that song being played, and she was on the freeways there in Los Angeles in California. She said, I just had to pull all the way over four or five lanes and stop and weep because God was washing my eyes with tears. And tonight we want to be able to think about a message, what blindness cannot keep from you. I don't know if it's too long to be able to put in the name in the title, what blindness cannot keep from you. What really nothing can keep from you. And we want to think along those lines tonight as we are getting ready to go into this sermon. Would you mind bowing with me in prayer as we now approach the Word of God and we cry out to God for America, because today something began to happen at the Supreme Court. I'll be glad to be able to talk with you about that later if you want to know what is happening at the Supreme Court. I did not come to preach a sermon on the Supreme Court. I came to preach a sermon about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who came to seek and to save that which is lost. And we want to go up before the throne of God. Father, we want to come before you tonight, and we want to thank you that Jesus came looking for sinners, for men and women. He wanted to make sure that they had the possibility of becoming a saint. He came looking for them, for looking for us at our worst. He didn't say, get yourself all cleaned up, get yourself all in a good shape, then I'll examine you. He came, he knew exactly what was wrong with us. He knew that we had no hope outside of himself. And he came, and he's come exactly at the right time in every person's life. We need Jesus tonight. We need him to come and to walk the aisles and sit in the pews next to each one of us tonight so that we'll know that the Savior came to be able to deal with us in our great weakness and to bring forth his marvelous plans for us, Lord, tonight. So make the word alive, Lord. I cannot do that. I can only open it and be able to draw from it. And each one of us needs for the word to fall into our hearts and accomplish the things that only you can do. So, Father, we're crying out to you tonight for America. We're crying out to you for our families. We're crying out to you for the future that it holds immediately here. Because we know, Father, that unless the church is fervent, that there is a chance that darkness will take such a stronghold and not turn loose. And we know that there is no stronghold that cannot be pulled down by those who have given themselves to God. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, we're going to open the Bible tonight to John the 8th chapter. And in John the 8th chapter, we're going to see in verse 56, we're getting close to the very end. We're going to be looking at John the 8th chapter, verse 56. And we're going to be seeing here the beginning of our scripture, and we're going to be covering a lot of scripture as we're doing this. And so it says, Jesus is speaking to a group of people who are having a real difficult time with him. I want you to know something. Jesus doesn't want you to have a difficult time. He understands that in this world you will have tribulation. He wants to walk it with you. He wants to hold you up in the midst of it. And so Jesus is speaking to them. I believe the words are in red, or they can be in red. And it says, your father Abraham noticed to see my day, and he saw it and was glad Then said the Jews unto him, You are not yet 50 years old. Well, he's about 30-something. We want to be able to think about a man who only lived to be possibly around 33 years of age, and he has changed so much of the world, and came to offer everyone that opportunity to be transformed. You are not yet 50 years old. How could you have possibly seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Now I want you to know this is a very powerful statement he's saying to them. He's truly telling them exactly who he is. He's identifying himself with a name that Moses was told when Moses was at the burning bush. When Moses said, God was saying, I want you to go back to Egypt. I need you to be the one who speaks to them. I need to use your life. And Moses was sitting there thinking, well, I'm a murderer. I've lived over here on this side of the world too long. I've forgotten too much. I don't have any self-worth anymore. And God said, let me be your self-worth. And he said, well, who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell them I am that I am sent you. So Jesus is saying something very powerful here in Verse 58, And Jesus said unto them, after they said, You're not yet 50 years old, how could you have seen Abraham? Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. So we have Jesus now identifying himself. And if you're willing, Jesus just identified himself to you. The one who spoke out of the burning bush to Moses, where he told Moses, Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. I want you to know something. Here, you don't have to take off your shoes. If you want to slip them off, that's fine. I don't know that we have any foot powder to be able to put on there. But we will allow you to do that if you want to, because you are on holy ground. Not because this place is all that holy. It's because Jesus has brought heaven into this gathering tonight. And he said, I am. And they took up stones to cast at him. Why? Because he said, I am. He claimed that he identified himself as the one who spoke out of the burning bush. And they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself. Everyone that's listening, that's gathered here tonight, you have an opportunity for Jesus to give himself to you. Everyone that's listening on Facebook family, and upon Sermon Audio Friends, you have an opportunity tonight for Jesus to give himself to you. You've heard the words. Jesus has said, I am. Just like out of the burning bush, Moses heard the words, I am that I am. And Moses believed God. Do you believe God? Do you trust in Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, to bring to us all that God had planned for those who have great need like we do? But he hid himself that day. Even though they had him surrounded there in that place, they had him surrounded, he hid himself. If you're in deep need of Jesus tonight, do not let him hide himself from you in this moment. He's here because he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to reveal his possibilities to you. So we want to be able to see that while it's happening here. And he hid himself from them and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I'm wanting to let you know, brothers and sisters, Jesus does not want to pass you by unless his staying would bring destruction to you. And when they took up stones to stone him, to so do would to bring destruction upon them. And church, we need to stand next to Jesus, because too many people are doing things today, and we don't need to go out and point our fingers at them. We need to bring Jesus into the equation so they can hear him say to them, he can speak to them and say, I am, I'm here for you. But he so passed by. I don't want to have another day where Jesus passes by. How about you? Anybody want to say amen to that? And so then we want to go to chapter 9 and look in verse 1. And in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, And as Jesus passed by. Here he's going through a group of people who don't know how much they need him. who have decided that they don't want him. They don't really have to have what he has to bring. And as he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. Now then, I don't remember everything about Helen Keller, but I don't believe that whenever she was born, that she was born totally blind and deaf. I believe that something else happened to her after that, because she at least knew the sound of words enough that whenever she began to, her mind began to be brought alive by one soul who believed in what could happen to her. Now, if that one soul was able to reach into the dark depths of Helen Keller's life, how much more can Jesus reach into the dark depths of our lives tonight, if we're willing? And he was blind from birth. And the disciples ask him, now it's always amazing to me the way people deal with when they see the evil that has come upon somebody, because we're always interested in how did that happen. Surely it has to be because of somebody sinning. And they say to him, Master, Teacher, I want you to know they're calling him Teacher, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, you know, if we know about sin, we know that sin can bring great destruction upon everybody. And this man was born blind. He could not see. And we want to be aware of the things that were keeping him from being able to understand his place in life. And so Jesus answers them and says, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Are you following along with me? There were all of these people that were around him. Jesus was there for them, and they had taken up stones to stone him. And he passed through their midst so that they could not do that which would bring great destruction upon them. And now here he is with this man, and he's proclaiming that neither has this man sinned nor his parents. Now I want you to know something. The Bible tells us for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? So we know that everybody had sinned, but Jesus is saying it wasn't because of sin that this thing happened. We had some of the most wonderful people here today. We had people that came from the South Central, I believe it is. They take all of your documents that need to be shredded, and they'll take them somewhere and shred them. And they had about 6 young men and women who came and carried all of our documents out of here in big boxes and put them away. And all of those young men and women were so filled with joy and were here today. But everybody that would look at them would say, what caused them to be the way they are? We need to understand that God has a plan to work the works of God in every woman, every man, every girl, and every boy. And the bottom line is he being able to work the works of God? And we want to see that here. So, and he's going to go on and say a few more things, but we want to skip on down because I have many verses to get through this evening, and I do want to go ahead and get you all finished as quickly as possible. Verse 6 now is where we're going. And when he had thus spoken, and I think I'm going to need to get a paper from right down here on the front row, so if you all don't mind, I'm going to have to step down there to get it, because I want to show you several things, if I have it here. Well, I do. Thank you, God, that we're going to see that happened to this man. Because you know that he's getting ready to see, don't you? You've heard the story before, don't you? But do you know what else happened to this man in this day and in the next day or two while he's being questioned? You want to know those things as we're looking into the message tonight. And so, and when he had thus spoken, that neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Verse 6, it says, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made a clay of spittle. He took some of the dirt that was in that place, and he made a bit of mud out of it, and he rubbed, or he anointed, the eyes of the blind man. Now, we don't know whether he was born without eyes, because some people that don't see were born without eyes that actually worked at all. There just wasn't anything there. Others have eyes that, for whatever reason, never truly made the connection, and they never worked. But we know here that Jesus is taking it and making mud, and he's taking it and he's rubbing it onto the eye of that person. I don't know whether they what it would be like for them, but I do know that whenever I get something in my eye, that I am agitated to the extreme. And here this person has heard someone, heard these disciples say, who did sin, this man or his parents? I wonder how many times he had heard that in his life. These are the ones who are going to be the ones who are going to take the church to the ends of the world. The ones who are worried about sin and what can be done there. We need to not be worried about sin so much as we are about the one who can handle sin. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, with the mud, and said to him, now go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is being interpreted that Siloam means to be sent, to go out. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now I want you to tell you that the temple is up on top of Mount Moriah here, and Jerusalem goes down at a steep angle down towards the east away from the Temple Mount. And so he's going down, and the Pool of Siloam was almost at the very bottom of the city. There were many steps that he had to go down. Thank God he's been blind all this time, because otherwise he'd be trying to see, and he's trying to go along and get down there. He is irritated and agitated as he's going, and it was a tremendous distance, and he had to go down steps all the way to get to the Pool of Siloam. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. And we're going to get to verse 8 now. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen that he was blind, said, what has happened? Is not this he that sat and begged? And some said, well, it seems to be like him. That has to be him. And others said, it is like him, but he said, now I want you to see the words that he says here, I am, and the he, you all get to see this on what we're using here on our screen. If you're looking in your Bible, it may be in italics. And he is saying, I am. He's using an echo. Are you hearing me now? He's using an echo from the burning bush. Have you ever proclaimed who you are in the eyes of God? That you are who you are? That you are what you are because of who God is? And you know that the I am that spoke out of the burning bush is the same God who had plans for your life? And we want to see that he's there. And he said, I am. Therefore they said unto him, how were your eyes opened? And he answered and he said, now then, all he knew before was that he heard disciples, and he heard a man, he heard a voice, and the voice said to him, go wash in the Pool of Siloam, and he went and he washed, and that's all he knew beforehand. So he says, and he's now in a progression of understanding. I have to ask you, brothers and sisters, are we still growing in Jesus? Or have we gotten to the place? Brother Matthews used to have a saying that he said about some people that they grew to a certain place in their life and basically they crystallized and they stopped ever growing again after that unless God was very gracious and kind to them and broke them. Now I want you to think about that, because the worst thing that can happen to a child of God is to be crystallized and no longer in the process of being transformed. I want you to think on that for just a few seconds. Are we being transformed, or have we some time ago we stopped becoming anything else? And we're just living at a spot, and that's all that's happening to us, but nothing is changing about us at all. But he did say here, and he has begun to have an increasing awareness of Jesus, and he said, a man. So now he says he's calling Jesus a man, and he said, a man called Jesus, Yahweh saves, made mud anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I washed, and I received my sight. So now the first thing he does, he starts off calling Jesus a man. Now, I don't know how much you need to be aware of the fact that you need the man Jesus, and that that man Jesus is for you. He is not against you. So let's go a little further and see if we can catch up with all the things that he began to go through, all the transformations he was going through. And then they said unto him, where is he? And he said, I have no idea. I could not see before. I only heard his voice. I wouldn't know what he looks like today. And they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. Now then, this man was a member of the synagogue. Everything's getting ready to change for him. Everything's getting ready to change for him. And so they bring him to the Pharisees. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Lord, if you want to put mud on me, if you want to stick it up my nose and in my ears and in my eyes, if you want to do anything like that at all, I'm ready for you to deal with me in any way that you need to deal with me. Because I don't want to be a person stuck. This man was stuck up until the time that Jesus passed by. And tonight, brothers and sisters, Jesus is passing by. And so he opened his eyes. And the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, he put mud upon mine eyes, and I wash, and I do see. And so we want to continue here. And therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. They're not talking about the blind man. They're talking about Jesus. They've already once wanted to stone him. They're determined to be against him. I'm hoping that there's nobody in the sound of my voice tonight that is against Jesus. If you are on Facebook family, please give him a chance. If you are on Sermon Audio Friends, please give him a chance. This man is not of God because he keepeth not a Sabbath day. Now then, the blind man had no idea that Jesus was making mud. He had no idea that Jesus was going to rub it on him. So we know they're not talking to the blind man here. And the one that was not keeping the Sabbath day, of course, is going to be the one who made the mud and the one who put it in his eyes. And others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such a miracle? Now then, we're wanting to see how the blind man, who's now the seeing man, how his progression of understanding who Jesus is. And tonight when we get finished, we need to ask ourselves the question, am I still in the progression of understanding who Jesus really is for me? And they say unto the blind man again, what do you say of him that he opened, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he's a prophet. Now then, a prophet has to be especially a man who has a unique anointing from God on him. We need to understand that's all that would set a prophet apart from anybody else. A unique anointing. And I want you to know something. If you're not a prophet here tonight, that doesn't mean that you fall behind in any way. Because every person was meant to have a unique anointing on them. And you need to say, do I have a unique anointing on me? And so he's gone from him being a man, and now he's calling him a prophet. Do you see how there's a progression that's going on in his life? And I'm wondering, if we were able to come back within 6 months, would he still be going through a progression? Will it depend upon what he's doing with his faith? I'll say it again, because some of y'all are having to chew on some things a bit tonight. It would depend upon what he's doing with his faith. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. They said, this is impossible. Now then, I want you to know, until that time, there had never been anything written in the Holy Scriptures about anybody who had been born blind, who had ever been caused to see. And we're going to find that out as we go into these Scriptures, if we've got enough time this evening. And that had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Now I want you to know something. The parents are not dumb. They know something is afoot. And besides that, they've been looking at people's faces a lot longer. And they can tell by looking at people's faces exactly what kind of mood that they're in. Are you always surprised whenever you're around somebody who can't tell what kind of mood somebody is in by looking at their face? You mean you couldn't tell that they were mad? Well, I could tell as soon as I got there. Everything about their face said that they were mad. And so it says here that and they asked them, the parents, saying, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? And how then does he now see?" And his parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, but that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not." Why? They're afraid of the Pharisees. They know that the Pharisees have a vehement attitude towards Jesus. And if they feel like that if anybody gets beside Jesus, that the Pharisees will feel the same way to them. And you'll find out that they're right here. And it says, who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Well, when does a person come of age? Say again? Say again? What was that? Oh, I thought you said 70. Because I'm just barely of age, if that's true. Okay, so obviously here, this man is of age. 13 would be a good time for him to be able to come of age, because that's whenever they have the bar mitzvah. And in the bar mitzvah, the father will say, "Thank God, I am no longer responsible for you. You are a man." So he's at least 13, probably older than that he is. And we're going to see how things are going to work out for him. And it says, "Ask him, and he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews." Obviously, they knew there was something afoot. "For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that Jesus was Christ," you know what a Christ means, don't you? The anointed Messiah. "That if they confessed that he was the anointed Messiah, he should be put out of the synagogue." He would have all of technology rights to be able to be on any platform taken away from him. You all see how even back in those days the same thing was going on? "Therefore his parents," said his parents, "he is of age, ask him." And then again they call the man that was blind. Now, does it tell us that it's all happening on the same day? I don't know if it all happened the same day, because things back in those times are just like today. They don't have to happen fast, because we need to know that God has a way of unfolding. "And they said unto him, give God the praise." Well, I don't think the man has stopped praising God that he's got his eyesight. "We know that this man is a sinner." They're speaking about Jesus again. "And he answered and said unto them, whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. I've never seen him. I still don't know who he is. But one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." So we see that this man is saying, "I don't know. I know I can see. I know I never could see until this day." "And they said unto him, what did he to thee, and how opened he thine eyes? And he answered and said, I have told you already, and you don't want to hear. You have no ear to listen at all." You don't want to listen. "And he said, would you listen to it all over again?" Are you really going to open your eyes and your mind and your heart and listen to again? "Will you also be his disciples?" This is the next thing. First of all, he says he's a man. Then he says he's a prophet. And now he's saying, "I am thinking about being his disciple. I mean, all my life I've never been able to see. And I'm thinking about being his disciple." I know this is a wonderful thing because he's got his eyesight. Somebody here tonight may actually want to be a disciple of Jesus without having had that miracle, because there is something that's happening. You are becoming increasingly aware of who Jesus is, and your heart is drawing you to him, and he is saying, "I am being drawn to Jesus." So we want to see here, he's basically saying, "I want to be one of his disciples." And they insulted him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." And the man answered and said unto them, "Well, here is it. This is an amazing and marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is.
We're getting ready to go to something amazing here in a few seconds. And yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners. Huh. This was something that they taught. God does not listen to sinners. And he was telling them, you know that. That's what you teach. God doesn't listen to sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, God will listen to him. I want you to know something. That because of Jesus, ever since Adam and Eve, God has listened to sinners. God has gone looking for sinners. It didn't just start one day when Jesus was finally here. He's always done that. And he's looking for a sinner tonight who would be willing to say, I'm willing to be his disciple. And he goes on and he says, and since the world began, obviously he was in the synagogue a lot. Now, as a blind man, he had no braille so that he could read the scriptures. He had never been able to look at the words before and be able to tell what the words said. But he had heard the word, and every word was hidden in his heart. Do you think maybe he knew Psalms 119? Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So we want to see here that he's heard this, and it says that this... he hears. Now then he's going to hit them with a big one, because the Bible talked about back in the Old Testament those types of miracles that would be reserved for the Messiah. And he's going to hit on one of those types of miracles right here. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that had been born blind? Have you ever heard of it? Was it written in the scriptures? Do our sages talk about the one time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time that the eyes of the blind were opened? And now he's moved from Jesus as a man to Jesus as a prophet to now then I want to find out what he's teaching. I want to understand everything about him. I'm willing to be his disciple. And in verse 33, he says, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He said, Jesus is of God. And I'm hoping tonight by hearing this message that you're beginning to say in your heart, Jesus is of God. If I go to Jesus, I'm getting closer to God. Now, I want you to know something. You'll say, well, Brother Phil, I kind of feel like that about you. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You might be able to get close to me, but you're not getting any closer to God. But if you get close to Jesus, you are getting closer to God. Thank you for stopping it. Verse 34, and they answered and said unto him, you are altogether born in sins. Well, we know this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even David said in Psalms 51, I was conceived in iniquity. So we know that they understood that being born in this world, you didn't come in innocent. You came in and you were altogether in sins. And do you teach us? Are you thinking that you're going to be able to teach us? You've never been able to read before. We don't think you can read now because you've never been able to look at the words. You've never even seen them. And you're going to teach us. And they cast him out. Now I want you to know something. They think they're insulting him and doing him a great disservice. But actually, they're driving him into... And whatever drives you into the arms of Jesus, that's a good thing. I don't care how you feel about it. It's a good thing. And they cast him out. Now, verse 35, we're getting ready to do some more. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when they had when he had found him, he said, do you believe on the Son of God? Get ready. His awareness and his transformation is getting ready to become even more profound in the time that he has with him now, because Jesus found him and found him probably around the temple somewhere, and he asked him and said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, the Son of God, Lord, that I might believe upon him?" So he said, I do believe in the Son of God. I want to know who the Son of God is. And Jesus said unto him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. Brothers and sisters, it's not difficult to talk to Jesus. Tonight would be a good time to have a sit down and a little heart to heart with Jesus, and to let him begin a transformation in your life. And it says here, Jesus himself said, you must be born again. You cannot continue on in this life and become more than a conqueror. You cannot in this life become one to where there to whom there is therefore now no condemnation without being in the process of being transformed. And he said unto him, Lord, I believe. What is he saying, Lord, I believe about? I believe that you're the Son of God. So he's gone from him being a man, he's gone from him being a prophet, he's gone from saying, I want to learn what he knows, and now he says that he's come from God, and now he's saying, I believe that you're the Son of God. And what would keep anybody here tonight from being able to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Nothing would keep you from it except for yourself. And this man was being able to, now I want you to know, I don't believe this all happened in one afternoon. I believe that it was over a period of time because he had to have a chance to be able to grow. And if you're growing tonight, I'm excited for you. But I wanted you to know that sooner or later, you're going to have to come to the decision and understand what is going on. And so in verse 39, so we see here that he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. So he believed. So he in verse 38, he says here, this is the one I'm going to trust. He's gone beyond saying he's a man, being a prophet, to being his disciple, and being God and being the Son of God. He says, I'm going to place my trust in you. He believed, and he worshiped, and he fell at his feet. And he prostrated himself. He did it. He gave himself the same position that a dog would come begging something from someone else. He put himself into the under the mighty influence of Jesus Christ himself. Now the bottom line is not, because we're getting ready to finish, we're going to do Amazing Grace here in a few seconds. The bottom line tonight is this. Are you undergoing a transformation? You are not undergoing a transformation if you have never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Never. You are not undergoing a transformation. Child of God, you may have stopped undergoing a transformation a long time ago, because there are things that our minds cannot accept, our hearts cannot deal with. There are things that become too painful, too difficult. It's kind of like, can you imagine what this man heard daily people saying about him? Because I'm going to guarantee you, when you're around a person like that, you will hear people say the most disgusting things about somebody. It's like they're not really even a person anymore. They're just a rock that's laying on the side of the road there. And he has heard every kind of insult there has ever been, and he's listened to it every day. And it's possible for us, because of the things that we've been insulted with and we put up with, for us to become as dead as a burnt boot sitting there beside the temple waiting for something to happen, when all I have to do is begin to say, I believe, and begin to worship the one that is worthy of being worshipped. And so then we're going to finish up that. Basically, there are three more verses, and I'll let you read those up so we'll be able to finish up the chapter. And now it's time for us to be able to finish up in here today. Facebook family, those of you that are watching, you have loved ones that you want to undergo what this man went under right here. I know some of you have loved ones who are sick, and you're wanting them to be healed. I'm going to guarantee you something. If they have Jesus, healing belongs to them. You may not see it all at once like this man had it done for him, but you'll begin to be aware of the fact that healing is happening in their mind and healing is happening in their heart, and you'll become aware of the fact of who he is. And do not give up on Jesus. He's passing by. He could have just kept on going, but he's got appointments to make and to keep. And he wants to begin to be the one that you can lean upon, that you can believe in, and that you can worship, so that your life can continually be undergoing a transformation. So let's all stand, and we're going to offer up Amazing Grace, because tonight we need such amazing grace to help put us just a little bit over the edge, especially if haven't become a believer yet. And we need amazing grace to put us just a little bit more over the edge tonight, if we are a believer, because God is not intent for anybody to stop undergoing God's amazing transformation. God already sees you as being transformed. Somehow you've gotten stuck. You're no longer enjoying days anymore. You're no longer enjoying weeks anymore. You're not enjoying anything anymore. This man, though he was cast out, he now had everything. And it's time for us to make our claim on all that Jesus is.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Well, if only it would happen like it happened for Hiob. Everything got to be all right for him. No, it was just beginning to get worse. Guaranteed. He was no longer going to be allowed into the synagogue again. Possibly his parents were going to be cast out too. I don't think that they were a bit happy that this was happening. His life was turned upside down, and many of the people that he knew, that their lives were turned upside down too. It was going to get worse. At least before, he only had to listen to people insult him. Now there are people that are angry with him. Totally angry with him. And yet, with Jesus, his life has only truly just begun. Father, thank you for those that are here this evening. Heal us tonight. Heal our dust bodies. Heal our broken hearts. Heal our sin-twisted minds. Heal us and come upon us with your love and with your restoration and with your joy. Heal us, Father, and raise us up out of the miry clay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.